So close to a default deadline, yet so far away from a deal. A conversation this morning with one of the deal makers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The global perspective coming up. First, President Obama and Republican leaders are again today trying to hammer out a plan that would raise the nation's debt limit. We're more than a week before the August 2nd deadline when the Treasury Department says the nation will technically default. Now, the president and House Speaker John Boehner have reportedly turned up the heat to get to some sort of deal, but are still far apart on the amount of budget cuts and tax increases. Meanwhile, the Senate today is expected to vote down the House GOP plan called Cut, Cap, and Balance, which called for a constitutional amendment to balance the budget. Now, the shape of the debate changed significantly this week when a bipartisan group of senators, dubbed the Gang of Six, unveiled a proposal of their own that would cut $3.7 trillion from the federal budget over the next 10 years, while at the same time raising some taxes. North Dakota Democratic Senator Kent Conrad is a member of the Gang of Six, and he's with us now to talk about it. Senator, welcome.
Glad to be with you.
The president says now he's going to support a very short-term solution to raise the debt limit, to give Congress a few more days to reach a deal. Is that enough time, or do you think you need more time?
Our plan was designed to deal with the debt itself. Our goal was never to be part of extending the debt limit, but we've been brought into that discussion because, frankly, there's very little appetite in Congress to extend the debt unless the debt itself is dealt with. To get all of what we have worked on enacted could not be done in just a few days.
Your plan would cut heavily from health care programs such as Medicare. Does this plan cut the deficit on the backs of the neediest, do you think, sir?
I don't. This is widely distributed pain, which it has to be when we've got the lowest revenue in the last 60 years as a share of our economy and the highest spending. You referenced the health care savings. Frankly, I think they're relatively modest. $500 billion is a big number, but you got to remember what's scheduled to be spent, which is well over $10 trillion.
I know taxes have been a huge sticking point, obviously, for Republicans, and Congressman Paul Ryan has said that your plan would raise taxes more than $2 trillion over the next 10 years or so. But you say your plan would actually lower taxes. How did those two things jibe?
The difference is the Congressional Budget Office looks at current law, and current law, all the Bush tax cuts expire at the end of next year. Compared to that plan, we cut taxes $1.5 trillion. Compared to allowing most of the tax cuts to continue, our plan raises $2 trillion.
If we don't do this right now, do you think the momentum goes away to get this done?
I frankly don't, because the rating agencies are telling us if we aren't showing serious steps at making progress at dealing with the debt itself, they will downgrade U.S. debt. That would mean higher interest rates. That would mean more debt. The time for kicking this issue down the road is about to come to an end.
Senator Kent Conrad, Democrat from North Dakota. Senator, thank you.
You bet.
Let's do the numbers. Well, global markets are mostly higher at the moment. Europe's up by about 0.5% or more. Asian shares jumped 1-2% today. Microsoft saw 30% growth in its last quarter thanks to a lower tax bill and higher sales of its Xbox game consoles. The software giant's Windows operating system, though, saw a decline in sales, part of an overall slump in PC sales as well. GE just reported a few moments ago that its earnings were up about 20% last quarter. A couple of airlines managed profits last quarter thanks to fare increases, which compensated for higher fuel prices. United reported earnings of more than $500 million. U.S. Airways earned just under $100 million. Both profits dropped, though, from the same time last year. Wall Street yesterday, markets ended the day higher. The S&P rose more than 1%. The Dow shot up 152 points, also more than 1%, to close at 12,724.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Now the global perspective on business and economics. Greece today said the second European bailout will give it some breathing space it needs, and the country's leaders promised they wouldn't back down from the tough public spending cuts they've agreed to make in order to get that rescue cash. But on the streets of Greece, people are angry by all the restrictions and the cuts forced by the bailout. In fact, today, much of the country is shut down by a taxi strike as cab drivers protest increased competition in their business. From Athens, reporter Joanna Kakissis went to the streets and talked to some average Greeks about why they're so unhappy.
Christos Kouloudzos is a tire salesman in Athens. He says the first batch of international bailout loans issued last year did nothing to help the country. In fact, he says the austerity measures that the government had to impose to get those loans only made Greeks poor. He says a second bailout will mean more budget cuts and tax hikes and desperation for the average Greek who can't pay his bills. Where is he going to get the money to survive, Kouloudzos says. He'd have to rob a bank, he says. The second bailout is worth about $155 billion. The Greek finance minister called Europe's decision to give those loans a great relief. In Athens, I'm Joanna Kakissis for Marketplace.
And finally, President Obama owes the city of London $193. Last time Mr. Obama visited the British capital back in May, his limo, which is, by the way, nicknamed The Beast, never paid the $16 congestion fee to drive into the city center. Now, at the time, London's mayor reportedly told the president about the congestion fee, but was never given payment. The president's not alone, though, in disregarding that fee. London's Sun newspaper reports American diplomats there have racked up more than $8 million worth of fines since the congestion fees were introduced in London in 2003. Hey, check out Marketplace.org. We have a new version of our budget hero game where you can take a crack at balancing big budgets, those budgets we've been talking about. Marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Social media, such a throwaway phrase for what can be a big expense.
You can spend anywhere from, you know, $100,000 a year to many millions of dollars a year.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Facebook, Twitter, Google+. Yeah, just put it on my tab. The story next time from Marketplace, today's business news as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.